And here we are once again.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
How you doing?
We're doing awesome. You know, we got to say, we haven't been at this long, but with Doug's great guidance here at WTCH, the Matt and Leslie Show is going national, by the way. Receiving emails and contacts from people well outside of the states, even heading down to North Carolina.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about that today, so super exciting. We're going big. Go big or go home, and we're going big, so we're pretty excited about that.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about this going national. What's going on here?
Yeah, so in March of this year, Matt and I received an email from Chief Warrant Officer 5, Russell J. Hauser. He is a doctor of musical arts from Hope Mills, North Carolina. And in his email, Dr. Hauser spoke of his hopes to bring more recognition to some Shawano native, Master Sergeant Conover Bassett Nichols, who was an adjutant general corps soldier, meaning he was in administration, and had become famous for about a week in April of 1942 during the siege of Corregidor in the Philippines. So we just want to kind of talk about that a little bit and let the people of Shawano and whoever is listening know a little bit more about this gentleman and the great things that he did for our country.
So this Master Sergeant, was he native to Wisconsin or Shawano?
Yeah, so what we learned, Leslie and I didn't have any contacts with this, so this email comes through, and just a lot of work had been done to kind of find a history and a story, and this person actually had a very profound impact during World War II in a couple of different ways. But to your question, Doug, he was actually born in Oshkosh in 1923, but him and his family quickly moved to Shawano. Conover Nichols graduated high school here from Shawano, and he was very active in vocal music, performing arts, operas, and even during his high school, there's a lot of documentation of how he was kind of, you know, the excellence in his class and someone to look to, and just had a musical gift. And it's really interesting throughout the story how that musical gift went on to impact so many.
All right. So what made him famous?
So Sergeant Nichols served, as I stated before, he served in the Philippines with the 31st Infantry Regiment during the early stages of World War II. And he was, as I had said, he's an adjutant general corps soldier working in one of the most influential Filipino radio broadcasters. So that was another reason we wanted to kind of talk about that today, is he was working in radio, which is always exciting. He then joined up with several other soldiers from around the United States and was formed what was hailed as one of the best pickup bands west of the international dateline. Nichols and his bands would play jam sessions in the evenings when the air was not filled with enemy bombs and shells, and these jam sessions were helping build the morale among the troops. And these were all reports that we were seeing that came in from Washington, D.C., so they were being hailed around the nation as being heroes for all of these fighting individuals. So for the Army bands, this forgotten moment in history underscored music as a component of presence. You have to think about the fact that these soldiers were not performing on manicured parade grounds or in an acoustically perfect concert hall on the best instruments in the finest tailored uniforms. Instead, they were battle-worn soldiers performing for their peers in bombed-out ruins or landscapes and just helping to work to keep that morale going for all of those soldiers.
So what did radio and print have to do with the story?
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, very different than today, right? Like, mm-hmm. Today everyone's got a smartphone in their pocket. We got six different social media apps. We got direct phone numbers. I mean, communication, during World War II was so different. And so, and obviously, loved ones and families wanted to hear and know how their sons or daughters were doing. And so radio and print was really interesting. You know, there was numerous articles. So, you know, back in the day, there were several other newspapers, even within our geographic area that we don't currently know about. But there was prints of these articles, you know, after these reproductions, and they would tell about their date, their time, the last time they were maybe seen, or if they, you know, he ended up being captured. And then radio, too. And so not only was the use of radio to boost morale, like Leslie just said, and the troops over there, but it was also a way where messages could be broadcast to the community. And so a station much like WTCH might have ran a report on Sergeant Nichols. And, you know, if a family member or a loved one was listening, they'd be able to share that and pass it on. So the music, the connection. Unfortunately, Sergeant Nichols was captured by Japanese forces following the fall of Bataan in Corregidor. And then he was held prisoner for over 3 years. I think it was actually like 3 years and 5 months. Mm-hmm. He was held by the Japanese. And so that kind of began the next part of his story. Even during that time, you know, so even during the time he's captured by the Japanese and obviously, you know, under their control, there were still several articles from local newspapers and messages that came across on local radio broadcasts, and they reported about his survival and his whereabouts well into the 1940s.
Wow. So what was his post-war legacy then? What did he do after the war?
So he was finally liberated in 1945, and he returned home and he spoke publicly about his wartime experience. In 1946, he provided an affidavit documenting the mistreatment of prisoners. During his time that he was captured as a prisoner of war, Sergeant Nichols was beaten and abused, suffering a significant brain injury that did ultimately lead or contribute to his death. He did pass away in August of 1957, but he did use his story to try and help others to bring to light what was happening when these prisoners were being held captive. And so just trying to use his story to help promote, you know, trying to make changes. And, you know, for Matt and I, when we heard of this, even this morning, I was talking with one of my coworkers and explaining, like, what we were going to talk about today for part of today's show. And I got excited to, like, be able to talk about these things because you don't get to hear a lot of the history. We have an amazing historical society here in town. But, you know, you get on with your day-to-day things and you don't always get to hear about this. So yesterday and you know, for several days, as Matt and I have been combing through some of these articles that we found, we got really excited to be able to share this story. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, while many of us obviously didn't know the story of Sergeant Nichols, we do know that there are numerous people from Shawano that continue to have local, national, and global impacts. We really appreciate Dr. Hauser reaching out to us and tuning in from North Carolina. He did say he was going to try to tune in this morning. So if you are listening, good morning to you out in North Carolina. I hope you're having some good weather out there. And thanks for listening to the Matt and Leslie Show. That's always exciting to know that we have people tuning in. And also thank you to him for sharing this really great story about a Shawano native. I think it's just really nice to be able to, you know, use this platform. We talk about that all the time, how grateful we are to be able to sit in this room with you once a month, Doug, and be able to share our stories and now other people's stories and tell people what's going on. And I think having that ability and, you know, Matt and I being able to be a positive voice for the city of Shawano is really something that we don't take lightly. We act like we take it lightly. You know, we joke around and we have a lot of fun with it. But to us, it's really important to be able to sit here with you and with everybody who's listening and get to share these great stories.
Well, this is definitely a great story.
Yeah, I think, you know, the other part, too, is if someone's listening this morning, and they're like, you know, that's really interesting and they want to learn more. You know, I know Leslie mentioned it, but the local historical society, they really do a fantastic job. And there's a lot of volunteers that do that. And they run some programs and events like this, you know, and so they'll actually do, like at the Woodlawn Cemetery, they'll do events where they talk about soldiers and their families and they get into the specifics, much like this, mm-hmm. about the stories and how they impacted. And, you know, and it's so easy in today's age just to keep on running, right? To keep on going to what you got to do next, that, it's good to slow down and remember that there's a lot of Shawano people that came before us, and they changed the world. I mean, this gentleman literally changed people's morale during a time of crisis and turmoil, one of the greatest wars. So check out the Historical Society if this is something that interests you and you want to learn more, because there's a lot of other stories like this.
For sure.
All right. Sounds good. Let's see here. Let's move on to tonight. We have City Council going on.
We do. Coming up tonight for discussion at council, we have some picnic license apps and road closures to discuss for some events that we have coming up. So I'm just going to kind of run through those. Thursdays at Franklin will be starting sooner than later, so we're all getting excited for that. Pathways is which is a local nonprofit. If you're not familiar with them, get familiar with them. They are a great local nonprofit, and they are having a paddle and pedal and brat fry coming up on June 21st. It's over by where Great Wolf Tubing is on Water Street. Sundrop Days is coming back again over by Memorial Park, June 6th through 7th. And Shawano Fest is coming up on July 12th in downtown Shawano, so that's always exciting as well. And, of course, Shawano Youth League is having several tournaments throughout June and July. Those will be down at Memorial Park as well. I know I will have 3 children playing in those tournaments this summer, so I'll be down there a lot. I'll look forward to seeing you all there as well. And then we have some other things going on tonight as well, some mayoral appointments to committees and commissions, a couple different conditional use permits that we will have as well for specialized veterinary care. They are looking to add some solar panels to a roof of one of their buildings, and they just need special permission to do that. So it's always nice when people are trying to find different ways to help our environment. And the VFW, there's a new facility. They are creating a building a new facility over on Olson Road. So just working through that process with them as well. Some zoning changes. We're approving our borrowing for our CIP projects that we do. We do it every 2 years. We do a borrowing. So we're working through that. PD is getting two new vehicles. That is a standard rotation that they are on to get new vehicles. And speaking of pathways and partnerships and all of those great things, Pathways is partnering with the city to help install another set of the user-activated crosswalks. This one will be on Airport Drive by the Mountain Bay Trail. So though, you know, we have three of those throughout the city right now. They're very heavily used. When I'm dropping my kids off at school every day, the one by the high school is always flashing and always being used. So it's really great to see those. And those have come through with Pathways has helped greatly with the financial backing of getting those in and working with our public works crews, Mike Mollick, our public works director, and all of that. So we have a lot that we're kind of going to be discussing tonight. Dave Mache will be talking about some of these things tonight. Eddie Shepard, all of that. We'll be having lots of conversations at council, so it'll be good.
All right, sounds good. We're going to take a break here, and Matt, we're going to come back and talk about park and rec items in just a little bit here on WTCH. It is time for or back to the Matt and Leslie show. And Matt, let's go back to you and talk about Park and Rec Department.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, summer is the season we love, right? It's the time and Sean to get on the water and have fun and enjoy our parks. So as everyone knows, or hopefully everyone knows, the major project we're in the middle of or just beginning construction of is the Rec Center. And truly, this is a project that we're excited about because you know, the Rec Center has been great for the last 60, 70 years. It was built in the late 1950s, but there were things that you would do differently if built today, and we're going to have the opportunity to make those changes. And so some minor inconvenience in the short term, but the Rec Center groundbreaking is going to happen June 5th. So that's kind of the kickoff to the actual construction phase, right? So we move from design phase, we go through and get the approvals from the city council and kind of tweak it to make sure it works. And now we hand it off to the contractor. And the groundbreaking, you know, think of it, the ceremonious gold shovels, people in hard hats, pretty pictures. We're going to do a little bit different, right? So we're going to jazz it up because that's what we like to do at the city. And MSA and 8 Pine are on board with this as well. So everyone is invited. So if you're hearing this, please come out June 5th, 11 to 1. So again, that's June 5th between 11 and 1. You don't have to come for the whole time. You can just come for 10 minutes. You can come for the whole time if you want. There's going to be a free meal sponsored by 8 Pine Construction Company. There's going to be access to individuals from the city, individuals from MSA, which is the design team, and then people from 8 Pine who's constructing it. So the idea is if you have any questions or concerns or just want to learn more about the project, you're going to have access to, you know, 12 or 15 people that are between one of us. We're going to know the answer to your question most likely. The other part with that is if you're around, you know, we're looking for some kids to come out because this is being built, yes, for us today, but it's also being built for the next generation. So we'd love to have, we'd love to put 10 or 12 kids with hard hats on and golden shovels in their hand and put them in the dirt and get a picture and possibly even use that picture for some artwork around the building or something in the future. You know, so it's not just a, it's not just one of those like dry adult things, right? We want families there. We want you to come out and have fun. It's going to be outdoors. The building will have been closed for a couple weeks already by then, and so we will be outside. But again, you know, hopefully we get a nice sunny day. Come on by for a meal and meet the staff from those companies regarding the project. June 5th, 11 to 1 at the Rec Center.
So the just to go off of what Matt just said, the groundbreaking ceremony part is from 11 to 11:30. And then so if you want to be in, you know, if you want to have your kids there for any of those pictures, get them there, you know, around 11 so that we can make sure to get everybody in their pictures because there's going to be lots of them.
Yeah,
and then from 11:30 to 1, that's where we'll be kind of mingling around and talking to people and hopefully having all those great conversations that Matt had talked about as well. And then, you know, like Matt said, there's going to be some burgers and hot dogs.
Yeah,
and
probably some yard games, yeah, a little bit of fun.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to seeing everybody come out and get us started on this great, great project.
Yep.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So, you know, as far as how does that tie in, so that's one event. The timeline of the rec center, this Saturday's our last day that we're going to be open. So, you know, come by if you want to get one last swim in, if you want to get one last half an hour ride on the bike or whatever it may be, one last racquetball game. Saturday's the last day we're open to the public. For the 2 weeks afterwards, city staff will be removing and moving. Some of us, Tara, Maddie, and myself, are moving down to City Hall temporarily. So if you want to come and talk to us, we'd appreciate that. Come visit us at City Hall in our temporary offices. Our parks team and other city teams will be going in the building and taking out anything that's usable. So we're going to take anything from the newer LED lights to ceiling tiles to, honestly, toilets and sinks and stuff like that we can reuse in the rest of the park system. You know, any way we can save money and be efficient, we will. So that lasts for about 2 weeks. And then officially on June 2nd is when we'll turn the site over to 8 Pine Construction, who was awarded the contract. And they will begin construction basically right at early June. So early June they take it. And then as a reminder, we're expecting to be closed for up to about a year of work. And obviously there's some variance in that depending on how things go. But the entire project will take about a year. We have a lot of people ask, why so long? And what we want people to remember is the 4 exterior walls and the pool is staying, and everything else is being gutted. So this is as close to a full demo and rebuild as you can do. You know, literally everything else will be vacant and rebuilt and redone. So the cool part with that is when we are back open, we'll be fully ADA compliant. We'll have shower and restrooms that are more comfortable and convenient for caregivers or families, or, you know, that awkward moment when it's like the parent of one gender and the child of the other gender, where do I go? Like, you won't have to worry about that kind of stuff. Bigger exercise room, and the part we're probably most excited about is just the bigger area for community members to meet. Offices, kind of the living room, we're calling it, spaces like that we just don't have right now. So that'll all start off in June, and we'll provide updates throughout the year. You know, Leslie does a great job with the city website and social media. Follow that. If you ever do have a question, call us, you know, email us.
Ask a question during the radio show. Oh. That would be really exciting if someone there would do that.
We might have to incentivize that at some point
in
time.
I've been trying. I was hoping that when the phone went off, somebody was calling with a question. I was pretty excited.
It was a scam call.
Oh, boo.
Dang.
Yeah,
well, and it was right when Matt said they were coming to City Hall, and I was like, yes, somebody's calling to schedule a time to come see us at City Hall. You know, you never know what people want to come hang out with us.
Right.
It's true.
So, it's always exciting.
So, Matt, I got to ask you then, with the closure of the rec center, what happens to all the equipment inside?
Yeah, great question, Doug. So we had a couple of options to get rid of it, but we did hear from the community that there was people, some of which use the rec center currently and some who don't, that said, you know, geez, we'd like to be able to place a bid on that. So what we did is we did just a traditional kind of, you know, bid process. It's open to anyone. So you don't have to be a city resident. If you're listening to this, if you live in Shawnee County, if you live in out of Gamey County, then you're hearing this, that's fine. Come on over. Every piece of equipment has a price tag on it, and it's just high bidder takes it, you know, and it's all open so you can see what this current dollar amount is. And so it's just our way of getting that into local people's hands that hopefully can use it to stay fit and active, you know, because that's obviously a large part of our mission statement is keeping people healthy, keeping them active. We want you to live long. We want you to have fun living. So that's one way you can do it. We have cardio equipment. So we have everything from treadmills to recumbent bikes to ellipticals. We also have free weights, so your traditional bench presses, inclines. We have some machine weights like Smith machines and some larger kind of multiplex, multi-purpose machines. It's all going, right? It's all being sold off. And I'll be honest, a lot of it's at a pretty low price right now. So you can pick up, you know, commercial grade equipment for a pretty cheap price right now. So the only thing I will caution you is it does close tomorrow at noon. So tomorrow at noon, the bidding will close, and then the equipment does need to be picked up between the 19th and the 21st. Obviously, We need it off-site because, as you know, we're going to be doing construction. So swing by the rec center. It's all at the rec center. The bid tabs or the bid booklet is right at the front desk, so anybody that's working the front desk can help you out. You can ask questions about the equipment. Some of it's newer, some of it's older. It's obviously all in operating condition, otherwise we wouldn't have it in there. And the prices are cheap, so come visit us.
All right, sounds good. Sounds like you also have an event going on today, too, huh?
We do. It is the annual Touch a Truck. So Maddie Stever has been working hard to contact folks that have cool, unique vehicles, things that you might see go by on the road, like fire trucks or ambulances, but never really been able to get in or crawl around. Some of our public work stuff, SMU stuff, some of the bigger equipment. And so it will all be at the Crawford Center, as always, between 4 and 7. It is a free event. So come on out. You can spend all 3 hours there. You can spend 3 minutes there, whatever you'd like. I know there's some food and some sponsorship going on. So it's just an opportunity for kids to get in and maybe crawl around some of the equipment that they see go down the road, but they don't always get to get in and touch. Usually each piece of equipment has an operator with it. So if there's questions about, hey, how does this work? Or, you know, how does a dump truck go up? Or how does a garbage truck, how does that hand actually pick things up? They can kind of talk you through and show it. So again, tonight, the Crawford Center here in town, between 4 and 7, Touch a Truck, come on out, check it out, walk around, have fun. Looks like we're going to hopefully have some nice weather for it. So that'll be a good time to do that.
She never asks me to bring my minivan down. I'm not sure why, but I think
it's because we all ride in that going to school.
I think it's a pretty great vehicle.
Wow, a minivan.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Yeah. They're pretty
dump truck, minivan, you know, I don't know, garbage truck, minivan. Well.
But my door's like open.
Yeah, by themselves. Yeah.
All righty. Parks are open right now?
Yes. So that's a question we get. So parks are open. When we say that, what we actually mean is the restrooms and the facilities within the parks are open. Obviously, parks are open year-round. But if you're heading out to a playground or you're heading out to play some pickleball, the restrooms are available. As a reminder, they typically get opened, you know, 8, 9 o'clock, give or take, where they are on the route. And then they're closed about that same 8 to 9 o'clock hour every night. But a lot of new parks have gone in the last couple of years, a lot of great playgrounds, a lot of you know, pickleball, some new basketball courts. So we definitely encourage you to get out, check them out, find a new one, have fun. If you are interested, a question we get a lot of times is, you know, can I reserve a public space or a park for an event? I have a birthday or maybe I have a graduation party, and you absolutely can. So what you're reserving is you're reserving the shelter, right? So obviously we're not going to close the entire park or the entire area to you. We can't. But we can set aside a shelter for you to know that you have space to set up food or to set up, you know, even entertainment or music or a DJ if you want. And you can do that by either going online to the city website and finding the park reservations tab, or you can contact our staff directly and we can kind of talk you through what's available. We do allow only one reservation per shelter per day just to ensure that everyone has the use of it when they want. If you're a City of Shawnee resident, the fee is $50. If you live outside the City of Shawnee, the fee is $75. It is first come, first serve. So come check us out, grab a park, have some fun, be active.
Alrighty, Leslie, you got about a minute.
Oh my gosh, okay. So just a couple City Hall reminders that Lisa, Leah, and Dina would like you to know. Please place your leaves in the proper containers for pickup. The leaf vac was only out during spring cleanup, so you need to make sure that they're in the proper cans or biodegradable bags. If you are a beverage operator or server's license, bartender's license, whatever you call it, your applications are due at the end of the month. So double check, see if you are up for renewal. And if you are, please make sure to get those in by the end of the month. And please make sure that you are getting building permits prior to starting any projects, pools, fences, doing a new build, remodels, etc. Make sure if you live in the City of Shawnee, you are getting into City Hall, coming to see us, and picking up one of those permits.
Alrighty. And Matt, a question that was texted in was about the splash pad. When's it open?
Oh, great question. Honestly, any day now. Typically, we say Memorial Day weekend, and what we will typically look for are just some really warm temps, which I do realize we had this last weekend, but we're kind of looking for that at least consistent mid-70s before we pop it open. I will let everyone know that Tom Steffel and his crew went through it, and it is fully ready to go. So I see some colder temps coming up this week, so we might wait a little bit. But if that were to change, you know, if you start seeing multiple days in that kind of mid-70s, that's about time we'll be going on. Follow us on social media. We do post it on there the day that it turns on.
All right, WTCH channel, it's 9 o'clock.